You are listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak today. A new program designed to help homeless youth, specifically teens who can benefit from learning job skills, for instance, will start in Sacramento Monday. It's called Possibilities, and it'll be run by Hope Cooperative, a major provider of mental health and housing services in Sacramento. The organization's executive director, Aaron Johansson, joins us now to explain how this program will work. And welcome back to Insight.
Good morning.
Aaron, we had you on just last week, of course, to talk about the Stand Up Sacramento event, which you said was very successful.
Very successful. Yes, we raised over $100,000 at that event.
Is that right?
Yes, it was fabulous. Really exciting.
And lots of good belly laughs, I imagine.
Yes, yes. So fun.
Yeah, Stand Up Sacramento, for those of you that don't know, is a comedy show benefiting the cooperative. But that short time ago, what, a week and a half now, the organization was known as Transforming Lives, Cultivating Success, or TLCS. Tell us about the name change.
So we've been TLCS since 1981, or some version of that. You know, we were Transitional Housing and Community Support for a while, and then we were just the initials for the last about 8 years. And everywhere I go, I get asked the question, what does TLCS stand for?
Right.
And what we did at Stand Up Sacramento is finally answer that question. It stands for hope. And so we are now Hope Cooperative. And that came about as a whole rebranding effort, and we just revealed it in a surprise at the event, so which hence why we didn't talk about it last week.
Yeah.
But what was so fun and exciting is Mayor Steinberg, he just rolled with that just that quick. We gave him no advance warning. We revealed the name. He came up to do his speech, and he said, well, it would have been nice for a little notice, but okay. He completely changed his whole speech to be Hope Cooperative through the rest of the thing, and it went amazingly well. So the name, it really relates to just what we bring to every service that we give, and our ability to collaborate with just about everyone in the community, and that's Possibilities is a great example of that.
And it's just easier for everyone to remember.
Yes.
And make more of a connection.
Yes,
of course,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So factors affecting youth homelessness.
Yes.
And help us understand what you mean by youth there.
Okay, so we're focusing on what is known as transition age youth. That's the 18 to 25 year olds.
Okay.
And they're those folks who are experiencing homelessness and currently living on the streets in Sacramento. And there's upwards of 300 to 400 of those young people every night. So it's a pretty big problem here in Sacramento. And the major provider of those services has been Wind Youth Services. And a couple of years ago, Susie Dodson, the former executive director, and I were on the Cap to Cap trip. That is the Metro Chamber trip to Washington, D.C.
To speak with lawmakers about what's needed and such.
Yes, advocating for the Sacramento region in Washington, D.C. And we heard about this new program type that HUD was going to be launching, which is called, it's a mouthful, Transition to Rapid Rehousing for Transition Age Youth.
Yeah.
And the reason for it is that rapid rehousing, which is basically just rental assistance, you help someone pay their rent for a short period of time and then peace be with you, you're on your own, was not working with youth because they didn't have job skills or any kind of training. So HUD recognized that it was not working and they launched this new program. So the way that it will work is that our program, Hope Cooperative, will run the transitional housing portion of the program. And during that time, 6 months, 15 youth at a time, so 30 in a year, will be part of a cohort that will have very intensive services to help them get connected to jobs and education that can give them a living wage at the end. The whole goal is prevention to the services that we offer every day. So a lifetime of poverty is not a solution for a young person. So we will be offering our services in sort of the swing shift evening, and we'll be connecting these young people with the Wind Youth Services during the day and making as many employment partnerships as we can find out there. So really what I hope listeners will hear today is that we need partnerships with employers so that we can get people connected. And we have a couple already that Woodlake Tavern, Deneb Williams, has agreed to work with us and employ some of our folks and help them get into the restaurant business from the ground up. So that's a very cool opportunity. We're hoping to work with the Association of General Contractors on some apprenticeship programs and a variety of others.
Help us understand the backgrounds of some of these young adults. Do they come from a childhood of homelessness, or are these situations where they were, you know, kicked out of the house at 18 for one reason or another?
I think it's all the gamut. I mean, there will be aged out foster youth, of course, as part of the group. Heavily, the group skews demographically heavily LGBTQ youth that are struggling, have had trouble at home. Substance use disorders will be prevalent amongst the population we will serve. It is a low barrier opportunity. You do not have to be clean and sober when you arrive, but we will be offering services and engaging with folks to help them understand that some of their behaviors do get in the way of them being able to support themselves, and we're going to work towards solving that.
How about youth that are coupled or have pets?
So pets is something that we sort of deal with on a case by case, but we will not say no to that specifically. Well, it really is, all the rules are around what works for the community. And so this community will be 4 3-bedroom townhomes is where they'll be living. And so if every single person has a pet, that's going to be a lot of pets. If someone is allergic and someone has a pet, that's a problem, just like it is in the real world. So we will be working on all of those things. How do you navigate that in your life? And that's, I think, part of the model is just, what does a person find when they go to college and they live in a dorm? How do you navigate all of the challenges that you have? How do you roommate match? How do you find someone you're compatible to live with when you exit the transitional housing and go into an apartment? Because no one's going into an apartment by themselves and paying Sacramento rent at the end of this. They will be getting matched up with roommates, and they will have to live with that scenario for a while, like most people do.
What are some of the unique challenges that Hope Cooperative faces working with this age set?
So I think that part of it is when people find themselves homeless in their young years, they probably didn't get a very good start towards their life. So they probably didn't graduate from high school. Not a lot of direction about what their hopes and dreams are. Probably didn't start college, or if they did, they didn't get very far. So there's just a lot of I don't know what to do with myself, is that, you know, which is typical of transition age youth. All transition age youth. So we're going to approach it as, you know, you didn't do anything wrong. You're developmentally right where you're supposed to be. And we're going to try to take you to the next level in a very intensive, short, accelerated fashion, which is a total of 2 years.
Your organization deals with a lot of mental health services.
Correct. Yes.
Do the youth need to be in that category in order to take advantage of these housing services?
No, and I'm really glad you asked that, because it is a little of a departure from our normal services. But what we believe to be true, and we know it to be true, is the trauma that people experience while being on the streets leads to exacerbated mental health symptoms. So we are really hoping that by offering this early, that we can actually prevent a person from being a lifetime of disability and subsidized housing and all of the things that comes with a serious diagnosis. My staff at Hope Cooperative is 60% identifies as people with lived experience, mental health challenges, and they're fully employed, supporting themselves, living in the community. So we know it can be done. And so if we do encounter some of the folks in this program will have those challenges, we're really good at connecting them with the services they need while also helping them be successful in the community, just like the rest of us.
There's also a lot of data out there that shows that this sort of early intervention saves money down the road for cities, et cetera.
Absolutely true. If you think about the numbers are staggering when people say the cost of untreated homelessness and untreated mental health is, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars per person can be with, you know, emergency room visits and law enforcement and whatnot. And if we can actually stop that cycle in those early years, you can't even measure the amount of money you've saved, because now that person's not only not causing all of that grief to the community, but they're paying taxes and they're having families and they're connecting with each other. And that's what it's all about for all of us, is connection.
All right. We're speaking with Aaron Johansson, the executive director of Hope Collective.
Cooperative,
formerly known as?
TLCS.
TLCS. They're launching a new jobs and housing program for homeless youth starting next week. As we know, housing is a major problem throughout California and here in the Sacramento region, the Reno region as well. Mm-hmm. Housing's expensive. So how does Hope Cooperative pull this off?
So that's a great question. I mean, first of all, we were able to get this property through collaborations and support from the community. So a former nonprofit called Clean and Sober was winding up their mission, and they had this property that they made available to us extremely cheap. And we were able to get our significant donation from Sutter and a bunch of other partners to rehab it, make it beautiful. And so that property is fully there, and the operations are being supported by HUD. After they leave that at the transitional phase, and they're going to be going into the marketplace with everyone else, of course. So we're partnering with Wind. They will continue to get subsidy from HUD for the next year and a half while out there in the community. But that's, again, why I really stress the whole roommate thing, because you know, with what we have now, the vacancy rate and the expense of an apartment, people are going to have to pair up in order to be successful. It's just the reality. And we are setting that expectation early and reinforcing it along the way. As well as the jobs piece.
We've all had bad roommate situations.
And, yes, we have.
And at that age, sometimes we're forced into dorm style living.
Yes.
When we go to college, and that doesn't always work out so well. How are you going to deal with situations where you really have two people where it becomes a dangerous situation?
Yes. And that's all part of the case management that goes along with the rapid rehousing subsidy that Wind will be providing once they leave the Hope Cooperative possibilities piece. And we make those changes. That's what we do. We're all, involved up until the very end. And when it's not working, we will make a switch and make sure that we stay involved with people. When it's not as serious as you're describing, it's just the things we've all been through, then that's when the conflict resolution and how to live with people and
life learning skills
uh-huh. really comes into play. And I would venture that 90% of the time, that's the key.
Okay. Quickly, Aaron, tell us about Monday's event.
Okay. So we'll be doing a ribbon cutting 9:00 in the morning at the property. It's 2980 Del Paso Boulevard. The mayor will be speaking. We'll have some speakers from Sacramento Steps Forward, from Wind. And we're just going to celebrate the excitement we have around this. We're already almost full. We'll be full by next week with our first 15.
Aaron, it's really great to see you again. And your 3 cups of coffee are rubbing off on me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Aaron Johansson, she's the executive director of Hope Cooperative. And we have more on our website, as always, at capradio.org/insight. You are listening to Insight on your NPR station right here, Cap Radio.